Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. I'll read the first three verses of Romans chapter 10. Paul writes here, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Most of us at one time or another have received an invitation to some event. And when we receive the invitations, we have two choices that we can make. We can either accept that invitation or reject the invitation. Jesus teaches a parable about an invitation in Matthew chapter 22 in the first 14 verses. And in this parable, Jesus tells about a king who invites the people of the kingdom to the wedding feast that he is holding for his son. Now, just as today, when a couple gets engaged, they send out an announcement about their engagement, or we may read about that engagement in the paper. But for those who are special to those people, they may send out a little card later on that is basically, keep this date open. And then they will, in a few more months, receive an actual invitation to the wedding. And oftentimes, the wedding, if there's a reception afterwards, they RSVP for the reception, so they know how much to plan for. In these days of Christ, an invitation from the king was a tremendous honor. And the custom was to send two invitations. The first was to announce the event, that it was being planned, and the second was to tell everyone that everything was ready and that it was about to begin. It was this second invitation that was extended in verse 3 of Matthew 22. The first invitation they had indicated that they would come. But at receiving the second invitation, the ones who accepted the first refused to attend. This was a downright slap in the face of the king. It was considered downright rebellious. And we can imagine how we feel if we plan this great event. Folks didn't show up. This king was patient. He decided to go ahead and send a third invitation. The messengers, the ones he sent, received a variety of responses. Some just neglected to come. Others, that they were too busy with their own affairs. And others went to the extent of persecuting and even killing the messengers. And it was at this point that this king had lost his patience, that he had sent his army to destroy those who killed his messengers. But the feast was still ready. And in order to supply it with guests, the king had ordered his messengers to go out to find anyone that would come and invite him to the feast. Everyone was invited. Didn't matter their social status, didn't matter their moral character, their race, their nationality, their gender, it didn't matter. Everyone was invited, and everyone would be admitted to the feast. But after the feast was going and the king had arrived to the feast, when he got there, he noticed that there was a man who did not have a wedding garment on. When he questioned the man about that garment, the man stood there speechless. The man was removed from the celebration. Of course, it was a little worse than what I'm just reiterating here. But why did Jesus teach this parable? You know, at the time that Matthew wrote this, there was no chapters and verses. It was all one long dissertation. And so translators, when they put this, they added their chapters, which sometimes makes it a little difficult because, as we know, paragraphs start something else. It might contain the thing, but it creates another thought. These thoughts run together. So we have to go to Matthew chapter 21 in order to find out why Jesus was there and taught this parable. You see, Matthew 21, he was teaching at the temple. And he got cornered by these religious leaders who demanded to know by what authority he was teaching and doing all these things that he was doing. Jesus would expose their hypocrisy in verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 21. Or he says here, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John, he came to you in the way of righteousness and you didn't believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And you, when you saw it, you didn't change your minds and believe him. You know, there were actually three parables that Jesus had taught about those religious leaders. And so what we have here in chapter 22 is Jesus using the king that represents his father, and that the son who's being married is Jesus himself. The messengers that were set forth in this was the Old Testament prophets and John the Baptist. People who rejected the invitation were the religious leaders. And all those that were allowed to enter the feast were the outcasts of society, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the Gentiles, and other sinners. But there are a lot of things that we can learn from this parable itself. First of all, those who go out to extend God's invitation to his kingdom can expect a variety of responses. Those who have ever been on door-knocking campaigns can attest to the variety of responses that you'll receive, or even just going around and putting flyers at doors. You know, you're going to find some that are going to simply ignore the invitation. You're going to have a lot of folks today who give the needs of their souls no thought at all. They either don't believe or they don't think it is important enough, or they just avoid thinking about it. Then you have some that believe if they just don't believe that there's a judgment that and an afterlife that not believing will make it true. You can imagine what the look will be on their faces when they stand before the throne of God. And at that moment in time, wishing that they would have taken the time to consider a relationship with him. There are others in this parable that considered themselves too busy. Verse 5 of Matthew 22, one of them says that he went to his farm. The others went there and dealt with his merchandise. How many folks do we know that consider themselves too busy to worry about the need of salvation? When you were coming to services tonight, even when you were coming to services this morning, how many people did you pass? When it's warmer outside, you're going to see folks that are going to be mowing their yards. They might be just sitting out on their front porch. May plan to go to the lake or to the beach. Might even drive to Atlanta or to Charlotte to pick up a ball game or something. Most are just too busy to think about having a relationship with God. In the book of James, in James 4 and verse 14, James warns us just how quickly our life goes by. He compares it to a vapor. It's here for just a little bit and then it's gone. We think if we're living 65, 70, 80 years, we got a long time to go. But those of us who are in that age bracket right now, how quickly did it go by? We all need to take the time to deal with our spiritual needs today. There's no extended warranty on this body. God does not provide us at the time of birth a guarantee of how long that life is going to last. It's not a Maytag. God made it to decay eventually. Then there was some of these messengers that were treated with contempt and persecution. Now, chances are that it's a possibility that we could be persecuted to some extent by trying to send God's invitation to people. In John 15, verse 20, Jesus told his disciples that since he was persecuted, that they could expect to be persecuted also. But regardless of what may lie ahead for us, the fact does not change that we have an obligation, and if you will, a blessed privilege to invite others to become a part of God's kingdom. One thing we need to note also is that everyone is invited to enter God's kingdom. If you read down through there, it says that the invitation went out to both the good and the bad. Religious leaders were invited, so were the tax collectors, the prostitutes. The invitation is still open today. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you come from. Everyone is invited to be reconciled with God. God does not discriminate according to race, gender, social standing, even nationality. God is open to all. For John 3:16 reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then John, he writes in Revelation 22, verse 17, "Let him that thirsts come, and whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." We have a tendency in our evangelistic efforts to be a respecter of persons. And God is not a respecter of persons. We have a tendency to put our efforts into a certain set of individuals. Maybe because we feel a closeness to them, or we can talk to them without feeling like we're strange and just got off our spaceship. Maybe we're just comfortable around them. Problem is that we don't like to get uncomfortable. But God wants us to reach out to everybody. Thirdly, we need to understand that we need to respond to the invitation on God's term, not ours. This is the individual who was not wearing the proper garments. In order to be admitted, you have to choose the proper clothing. The wedding garment that we read in this parable is the righteousness of Christ. And if we try to enter God's kingdom wearing our own righteousness, we will be rejected. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says that our righteousness is filthy rags in God's eyes. But in Isaiah 61, in verse 10, Isaiah writes here, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me in garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as the bride adorns herself with jewels." Romans 3:10, Paul writes here, "As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one." What Paul was quoting here was Psalm 14 in verses 1 and verse 3. But he goes on to say in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, we can't bring our own righteousness into it because it will be rejected. But we must have the faith that comes from God's word, Romans 10, 17. And as Paul writes in verse 10 of Romans 10, "There must, for with the heart man believes to righteousness." We've all been taught that repentance is a 180-degree change from where we are. And that is true. But that doesn't fit us. We don't make that 180-degree turn and go the other direction all at one time. We make our changes in degrees. If we got rid of all the evil, sinful things within our own selves and turned away, then we would be perfect. But we're not. We strive for perfection each and every day of our lives. We turn just a little more and a little more each day that we keep God and Christ close to us. But we never completely get to the 100% turnaround. God awards us for efforts, not 100% success. That heart-changing repentance means we're going to put forth the effort to try to change. Confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, Luke 13, verse 3, to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16. These are the wedding garments that God has provided, and we must choose to put them on. You know, at our sister-in-law's birthday party, it was business casual. Jacket, I wore a tie, had a red shirt on. Vicki had a nice dress with red in it. We thought we'd go together at least coordinate a little bit. And a couple of Elisha's brothers had red shirts on, but they didn't wear a jacket. That's okay. And I was coming up, and I was shaking their hands and everything else, and these are tremendously good people. And I said, we all got the same memo because we were all wearing red shirts. My brother-in-law misinterpreted what I said. He said, well, I said it was business casual. And I'm like, well, yeah, but this is my business casual. Thing is, we must wear the proper garments to be accepted by God. We just can't go off and wear the right pants without the right jacket. We can't go in wearing plaid pants and polka dot jacket. We have to put on what God requires us to put on. And by refusing to wear the proper garments, the way God has instructed, is to assure the punishment. And this man's punishment was horrendous. Bind this man. Cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the future of many in our world today who refuse to wear the proper garments. God is patient. He is kind and he is merciful. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's grace is extended to everyone who will obey his commandments. And every time we reject the invitation, the heart becomes a little more hardened and his call becomes a little more difficult to hear. Friends, there's going to come a day when God will no longer offer that invitation. We're no longer have an opportunity to respond. That day could be tomorrow when his son returns, if he returns tomorrow. Or we could perish a natural death and let that invitation slip by. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, Paul writes here, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you not this evening be properly clothed in righteousness? The invitation is extended. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We all look forward to rest. And we will find it if we accept his invitation. It is your desire to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent and confess Christ is the Son of the living God. We want to give you that opportunity today. Maybe you just need our prayers. Whatever your need is this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.